This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. I'm Robin Hilton from NPR Music. It's May 26th. Astoundingly, the month is flying by. I am here with WBEZ and Vocalo Radio's Ayanna Contreras. Hey, Ayanna.
Hello.
Contributor Serena Turos.
Hey, Robin.
And NPR Music editor Sheldon Pierce.
What's good?
It's New Music Friday. We all got together, decided what the best albums are that we should flag for you today. That includes new ones from Casa Overall, Arlo Parks, Mia Folick, and more. But we start with the rapper Lil Durk. His album out today is called Almost Healed. This is the song Same Side. Yeah, I feel like the trapping nigga. Money long, buying hoes, everything they want, cause my bag different. Real trench nigga, all I hang around murderers and dope dealers. Real deal keep pushing, real bad hoe fucker, real deal wife taker. Yo, homie, dad, you judge in front of that fat, think you a lifesaver. And I fell out with my bitch, thought she was cheating, but it was a vibrator. Y'all left from broke down when your broke dad turned to a crap baby. Jumped out on both sides with a 4-5, that boy can hide candy. Had a kid with an eating bitch, I try to trick and say I can't hide babies. You want papers, gotta keep a gun, boy, you don't drag crazy. I just beat the same gun case with the same lawyer that nine gave me. Ain't giving no guns up, I got the same gun that slam gave me. Yeah, touch his chain, this nigga dead, I dropped that bag, it's on his head. Switched on me a few times, I can't let him get that chance again. I was dead broke, they was popping shit, them niggas laughed at us. I feel like I'm still gonna get that coma for what my brother did. Check off the list, I put in work, now my bag secure. Get her nails and hair done, cause I'm rich, I ain't tripping on it. Changed my mindset and I went bossed up by myself, look in my eyes.
Yeah, it feels like Lil Durk is living his second life as a musician. He was one of the first artists signed in the great Chicago drill rush of 2012. But four albums released on two different major labels across 5 years never really picked up traction. Durk stayed with it, though, and he has quietly become one of the biggest rappers in America over the last 3 years. His 2022 chart topper, 7220, was one of only five albums to go platinum last year. All of that has come with its side effects. He's had a lot of people around him die, including his brother in 2021 and his star pupil, King Von, in 2020. As a result, he has tried to think a little bit differently about his career and about his life and about how his music functions. This album, Almost Healed, takes the music as therapy approach, which is sort of a tried and true cliche, especially for rappers, sometimes as a cop-out to not actually go to therapy.
He is in therapy.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
He's very open about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's an important part of it. And the album opens with Alicia Keys sort of asking him to lay bare his life on the record.
Good morning, Durk. I hope you're doing as well as possible under the circumstances. Can you tell me, where was your mind when you heard the news of your friend Vaughn passing away on November 6, 2020? And then the loss of your brother on June 6, 2021. Wow.
I personally would have liked him to lean into the concept a bit more. His ability to be both vulnerable and hard in the same breath is what has drawn fans to his music, but it can give it some of a split focus, but it is quite expressive. I was too lazy, I had to get up. He died from cancer, he ain't get a checkup. I want Travis Barker tied at the neck up. I feel better getting deeper religion. Court for child support visits, I'm better. Say you love me with a hidden agenda. Low self esteem, I took down a mirror. Stole from me, old management devils. Trenches broke, I gotta hold them together. Trying to claim the little boy, I'm better. If I'm a change, I'm a change forever. I ain't trying to stay in this lane forever. He was that nigga, now I serve him cheddar. Gee, I die, niggas won't tear up for me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wonder when people who don't live in Chicago listen to this, what do they think? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think this is very disturbing, honestly, listening to the lyrics. I read, you know, there was an XXL interview of him called Coming of Age, which was, you know, he's obviously on a path of discovery, of sort of figuring out himself. But I think the collateral damage of a lot of this music is, I think it far outweighs the aesthetic quality of it. I mean, we had another artist, which I'm sure you guys have heard of, G Herbo. He was diagnosed with PTSD. Has also gone through a lot. He started a nonprofit called Swerving Through Stress. Recently, he talked to us at Vocalo. Another artist that, like, their music is like recording and documenting hard to explain trauma that's happening in a real community. Like, this isn't a joke. And I think the people who are making this platinum, I don't know that they're in this situation that these people are really talking about, that they're really struggling to work their way out of. So I have a kind of a complicated feeling about it. It's very difficult for me to just say, oh, it's art. It's more like I'm concerned for these people and I'm praying for these people as a neighbor.
Yeah, there was a line that really stood out to me on All My Life where he raps, media thirsty for clicks. I got a new rule. If you ain't never posted a rapper when he was alive, you can't post about him after he get hit.
These days, seeing rappers be dying way before they even getting they shine. I never even heard a little buddy till somebody murder a little buddy. Now I'm on the phone searching little buddy name. Got a play in his tunes all day in my room. Thinking, damn, this shit wicked to get their names buzzing. Some niggas just gotta go lay in a tomb. And media thirsty for clicks. I got a new rule. If you ain't never posted a rapper when he was alive, you can't post about him after he get hit.
He really sounds embattled on this album.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Ayana, in that I found a lot of this record to be just upsetting. But there are some tender moments.
All my life. They be trying to keep me down. All this time.
I think it's complex, right? Like, I don't want to villainize him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I totally understand. There is a lot of complexity at play with the Dirk stuff, with drill stuff in general, not just in Chicago. A lot of this stuff has obviously been linked to violence because there is violence at the center of a lot of it. But at the same time, I don't like to villainize the artists who are working through those experiences. But I do think there are moments that do feel tender, where you can hear at the core of the anger and the paranoia, just a fear and a hurt that he is really trying to overcome. A lot of Bell Hooks' stuff about Black masculinity is about how aggression can be a mask for something more vulnerable underneath. I think every Dirk cut is wrestling with that in some way.
All right, again, that's the rapper Lil Durk. His new album out today is called Almost Healed. Another new one out today that we're loving comes from Arlo Parks. She's back with an album called My Soft Machine. This is the song Dog Rose.
You jump in the turnstiles and look feeling horrible.
Arlo Parks, for me, is one of the more consistent folks, just in terms of songwriting. In this particular project, the level of self-awareness is very, like, brave and refreshing. There's, like, a lot of beauty in the lyricism, even though the tracks themselves are just, like, a vibe. You also have, like, really solid lyrics. Even the opening track, it's Bruiseless, says, "The person I love is patient with me. She's feeding me cheese, and I'm happy like a peony ripped by the chain of a dirt bike. I just wish I was 7 and blameless.
I wish I was bruiseless. Almost everyone that I love has been abused, and I'm included. I feel so much guilt that I couldn't guard more people from harm. We listen to Luma, lumps in my head I struggle to smooth. The person I love is patient with me. She's feeding me cheese and I'm happy. Like a peony ripped by the chain of a dirt bike. I just wish I was 7 and blameless. Going over the handlebars."
That level of poetry and internal rhyme scheme, you almost miss it because the songs just go down so easy.
Yeah. And Bruiseless really struck me because it does this thing that I'm hearing a lot in music, which it weaves in the sounds of children. It's very faint. It's very faint, but it's in there. And as you know, she talks about longing for the innocence of childhood and that time in your life when you're sort of full of hope and wonder and you don't have a lot of responsibility. There's something in the air that is informing this in music now, and we're going to hear it in a number of the recordings that we're going to play today. In fact, it's in the Lil Durk cut, too, All My Life. He has sort of a children's choir or something that appears in that.
Yeah, Ayana, to your point, with her lyricism, I feel like her pen is just growing every year. And what really struck me is the way that she works with color, I think, is so fantastic. You know, at that opening cut, we played Dog Rose. The way that she described the sky was so evocative. But also on Purple Phase, when you think of sadness, people often go to the color blue. But here she is creating like a new canon of imagery. And that song almost is like a sequel to Black Dog from her first album, Collapse in Sunbeams, just in the subject matter, too, about this idea of a friend who's in peril, who's maybe dealing with substance abuse and like trying to get them out and trying to get them help. And so these songs, they do go down so smooth, and they are so beautifully crafted and jazzy and groovy and wonderful. Right. But, you know, the message is really important, too. I feel like, you know, it sinks in, and it makes me a little hopeful, too, that, you know, people are looking to find solutions and, you know, care for their community that way.
Yeah, no, as a big fan of Collapsed in Sunbeams, this one I felt came up a bit short. It's to me, it's tough to follow a big declarative debut like that. Parks has described it as the experience of being trapped inside her particular body. And I guess I get the idea of that, but it's interesting to me to frame it that way because to me, this record doesn't feel more autobiographical or more visceral or more personal than the debut. I wasn't as struck by the writing as I was stuff like Caroline or Eugene. To me, there was nothing as sumptuous or sensuous as Too Good or Green Eyes. That said, a talent of this magnitude is going to find ways to manifest in their like supreme moments of beauty across this record. Like the cradle song melodies of Pegasus are like ASMR to me. I commend her for trying to do more. There, it's clear that there is more on her mind. To both of your points, grooves are across this record, pulled from every genre direction. She very clearly has a more omnivorous appetite. It's a searching record. I'm just not sure it finds all that it's looking for. That said, I could definitely see myself feeling differently in July after I've sort of languished in this record for the summer months and had it wash over me. You can always commend a big swing, right? It's always great when a young artist takes on a big, ambitious project like this.
Arlo Parks is the singer. Her new album, again, is called My Soft Machine. Let's go next to the artist Gia Margaret. She's a pianist, a singer-songwriter, and she's got this gorgeous new album out now on May 26th called Romantic Piano. This is the song Ways of Seeing. Thank you.
This album brought such a huge smile to my face just within the first 10 seconds of listening to it. I mean, I knew I was going to love it. I loved her second album that came out in 2020. What was it? Mia Gargret.
Mia Gargret.
Great name. And so I knew what I was getting into. You know, I got all cozy in bed. I pulled the covers up and I closed my eyes and I just let it wash all over me. She has such a delightful execution of the way that she plays piano. There is such this like plotty weight to the keys, this physicality of them that she records that is intrinsic to her music. And it is such a human thing. It like, honestly, every time I listen to another one of her albums, it makes me cry. And on this song, you know, Ways of Seeing, this like crisp, crunchy footsteps on the leaves and the jingle of her dog's leash and the trilling of birds, I feel like she has such an expansive way of thinking about music that, you know, our experience of it isn't static, that we carry it with us when we move through the world. And, you know, people are going to be listening to it on headphones and out on the bus. And I just feel like she is so good at opening up the world of sound.
That's interesting that you mentioned the sound of it, because I think that the title kind of humorously reminds you of those 70s schlocky compilations. But the sound of the actual record, the quality of the recording immediately removes that connotation. You know what I mean? Like this almost verite quality.
Yeah, there is a naturalist sense to the music that she makes, but there's also sort of a surreal out-of-body thing that takes place too. Like listening is a bit like getting sucked into a stereogram, and then when you finally look away, it leaves you a little bit dizzy.
I know. Like on the song Juno. That song feels like sitting at the planetarium as a little kid, you know? This gentle, like, bittersweet wonder of kind of, like, looking up into the heavens in a way that it makes you kind of sad because you feel so small, but you feel grateful to be humbled by it. And, man, I don't know. I just think she is so fantastic at this.
Well, riddle me this. Why doesn't this sound like cheesy New Age music? Why? How does she thread that needle? Because these are things like hearing little ambient sounds with gentle pianos and stuff, you know, that we heard in Windham Hill recordings 40 years ago. But it just feels so vital to me when I hear it here.
I think it's just the love that goes into it, you know? The sound of a human pressing down on keys and the hammers collapsing inside the piano. Like, I kind of think of like, oh, if you go to a spa and they're playing New Age music, you don't really get any of that. It all feels kind of like they're using the programmed versions of a keyboard.
Sanitized. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not thinking about the way the instrument informs the recording.
Yeah, that sort of is different from like the processed, packaged brandedness that comes with a lot of New Age stuff.
Verite, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I want to give credit to that because we very seldom, we talk about how good a record sounds, but we don't always speak the names of the engineers mm-hmm. and the mixers who make that happen. And one of the folks that was involved in making it sound like that, in addition to Gia, was like Yoni Wolf from the band Y, which I think is an interesting side note, and Sean O'Keefe, and I think there's an additional person, but it was primarily those three people that worked in different configurations.
Okay, the album again out today is from the artist Gia Margaret. It's called Romantic Piano. We do still have a few other releases that we want to highlight for this week's show, but let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu. Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how a new study aims to impact an underrepresented community.
My greatest hope for the Voices of Black Women study is that it will help us understand and identify culturally tailored ways to change and really eliminate the unacceptable disparities for future generations of Black women as it relates to cancer.
To learn more, go to voices.cancer.org.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
It's New Music Friday from NPR. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Ayanna Contreras, Serena Turos, and Sheldon Pierce, doing a quick rundown of the best releases out now on May 26th, including one from the drummer, producer, and rapper Casa Overall. It's called Animals. This is the song So Happy.
I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go home. You don't know what it feels to really be alone.
Chosen, would you find your dream in a dream when the doors are closing? Never mind the seat at the table. I will settle for crumbs if I'm able. Is it dumb to be wise in a humble disguise? I'm not meant to be a puppet or a fool. A fool or a puppet. A puppet or
I think this album in and of itself just has such a wide spectrum, really a collage of sonic influences on here. Terry Lynn Carrington actually describes Casa as, quote, a preeminent style bender and blender, successfully juxtaposing genres. Now, from my perspective, I'm not sure how successful it is on this album, but let me clarify that by saying I'm not sure that it gels into one coherent thing, but perhaps that's the ideal, right? Like, there is an intentional lack of resolution to the way in which the different references are sort of not playing nice with one another at times.
Yeah, I found a lot of the record to be very unnerving. Like, you take a song like Clock Ticking.
Clock ticking, we ain't got long. Clock clicking, we blow that strum. Used to roam the streets like I ain't got no home. Get it on to the break of dawn. Clock ticking, we ain't got long. Clock clicking, we blow that strum. Used to roam the streets like I ain't had no home. Get it on to the break of dawn.
Which is just weird and surreal. You kind of hear someone clearing their throat in the background in the, you know, like about a minute or so. It's a subtle little thing, but it just feels like, I don't know, like you don't know what's happening. And it feels like something very, very bad could happen at any moment.
It's clearly wrestling with a lot of different things in a way that I think is compelling.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that this is the only album ever that will have Vijay Iyer and Little B both on it. But that's pretty much the appeal of Casa Overall in a nutshell, right? Sort of oddball avant-garde. He's like taking his experimental rap sensibilities and stretch them to every corner. And you know, he's obviously got that jazz foundation. They call him an MC, but to me, he's always been a drummer first. And this is informed by a drummer's impeccable sense of timing. Even at its most chaotic, I think that's when it's indicative of that.
I had to play it back a couple times because I thought that maybe I had the album on shuffle, because there were multiple tracks that started sounding like one thing for about 2 seconds, and then there was kind of like a clipped switch up into another mode. And I think maybe the inscrutability is the point, that, you know, it is supposed to be chaos. One of these songs has like a tiger roar on it, and it does feel like they've put some predators into a cage and now they're having it out.
He has mentioned that this is a pandemic record about the struggles of staying sane as an entertainer. And I think that is why it sonically feels so on edge, like it could spin out at any moment. Yeah. But I think the fact that it doesn't is a testament to his mastery.
And lyrically, it's also compelling. It's like, to me, he could play this record fairly straight. You know, he doesn't have to get so bent with it. And I think it would still connect. I think he would still stick the landing, you know. But to your point, you know, that you made earlier on the Arlo Parks record, he takes a just like this massive swing across this record. And I'll always show up for that.
100%.
Casa, overall, his weird, wonderful album is called Animals, one of our favorite new releases, out now on May 26th. There's also a new album out today from the singer Mia Folick. It's called Roach. This is the song, Get Out of My House.
Somebody needs to send this song to Whoopi Goldberg, because when I was listening to when I saw the title of this, Get Out of My House, I just thought of her perfect quote about how she doesn't want to be in a relationship because she doesn't want anybody at her house.
keep my stuff there. Why would I want anybody there?
I don't want anybody in my house. But I love this album. It's just so messy and roiling. You can tell that she's really going through it. And yeah. I feel like it is just an album about being in your 20s and how much that sucks. And also the way that, like, when bad things happen to you, that you can't let them turn you into a jaded, miserable person. I love the song, Oh God.
Fucking off and watching trashy TV.
She's trying to square her ambition with the obstacles in her way, saying, you know, if I give up, I'll regret it when I'm old, which really hit me square in my feels. But I think also just the way that she executes these ideas too, like the vocal layering and harmonies are so tremendous. It feels like it really encapsulates the journey you get on at the beginning of your 20s to try to figure out the person you're going to be by the end. And maybe like me, she's not quite there yet, but I think she's written pretty incredibly about the way you go through it.
Yeah, Serena, to your point on Oh God, there's a lyric, effing off and watching trashy TV, spending all my 20s not believing anything. Mm-hmm. It's just the start of this record, sort of like brutal, self-lacerating lyrics. You can pull out some bit of like modern philosophy from nearly every one of these songs. Yeah. It wrote just such a great record about being young and a mess, but also trying to just make sense of an unfair existence. She has endured a lot over the 5 years since she released Premonitions, and it's clear that you can hear that in these songs, that they have a bit more bite than the ones on her debut.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you guys mentioned that. That's, I think, a very fair assessment of, like, what bothers me about this album. I mean, real talk. Like, I think that why I don't really, like the show Insecure is I'm not trying to go back to that point in my life. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that messy 20s period.
Yeah.
But at the same time, each generation needs to have that messy 20s cultural experience. And I think this is that for her and her fans and the people that want to hear it. I mean, the lyrics are, I think, very pithy. You know, I love the punchlines, but I think that's really what comes down to. It's about me.
It's too on the nose.
No, nobody wants to go back and let their 20s again. No. I was just talking with another 20-something earlier this week and just saying, hey, it's the hardest time in your life. I want to point out a cut. My favorite cut is Cartoon Clouds.
Every day, something makes me angry. Out of nowhere, lose my temper. Can't remember what happened. Why are you laughing?
Mm-hmm. Again, the ambience of the kids playing. It just suggests so much innocence and freedom. And like, you know, so many of the songs on the album, so many great lines. She says, so uncertain about, insert whatever applies to you. She doesn't say what she's uncertain about. She just knows this is universal. So insert whatever applies to you. Nothing works today. Can't recalibrate. I've got shit attitude. Oh, man. Talk about summing up your 20s. And she also says, you know, she also starts the song by saying, every day something makes me angry. Isn't everyone feeling that right now? Like, she also questions, like, the validity of that anger. Are we all just so amped up now that we can't come down and everything is setting us off, even when it's really nothing or maybe something very minor? But again, she contrasts that so beautifully with this youthful idealism. All right, again, that's Mia Folick. Her really wonderful new album out today is called Roach. There are a whole bunch of other releases out today that are totally worth noting, more than we could ever fit in a single show. So you'll find a complete list of those other notable releases in the description of this episode in your podcast feed. But before we go, let's just take a minute to flag some of our personal favorites out today. Ayana, we'll start with you.
So believe it or not, my pick is actually The Girl Is Crying Her Latte from Sparks, which marks the return to Island Records.
As good as they say it is, that's the way it is. I wish I'd known beforehand. I was born just 22 hours ago, but I want to go back to my former quarters.
I mean, art rock with a bop? It's a bop. I don't know. I mean, their performances, I think their artistry, I just think they're just a really cool conceptual band. In their golden era, you know, they put out Kimono My House 1974. They had some real bops. So, I mean, I'm very excited.
Serena.
Yeah, my pick this week is from the artist Alex Andwander and his new album, El Diablo and El Cuerpo. This is an electronic, disco, funk light record from a Chilean artist and producer now based in New York. And it is really just this grand celebration of movement and queer existence. You know, he said that, you know, dance culture is a world where you can become who you really want to be. And I feel like going into Pride, that's the energy I'm taking with me.
Sheldon.
Yeah, my pick is Wanda Cole's Legend or No Legend.
Back in the days, I was a menace. Finish all in one bite. Hit the licks in the city. Finish all in one night.
So nice.
But loose ends get tired quick. I'm too tight. I do right in 5 minutes. I'm leaving with five bitches. I admit it.
Wanda is a pioneer for two generations of Afropop music. He's sort of been lost in the shuffle behind guys like Wizkid and Davido and Burna Boy and the new guard of like Fireboy DML and Rema and Amare. But his new album, Legend or No Legend, sort of not only situates him as one of the people on the vanguard, but also lets people know that he is capable of adapting to the current contemporary landscape. And it's one of the best Afropop records of the year so far.
Cool. Okay, and I want to note a new album out today from the composer Anna Thorvaldsdóttir and the Iceland Symphony Orchestra. It's called Arcora Ion. So these are two orchestral works. She wrote Arcora in 2022 and Ion in 2018. Both are performed here by the Iceland Symphony Orchestra. She says that she was inspired by the idea of things like parallel universes and time and space and, you know, how we experience both of those things and move through both of those things in these nonlinear ways. And I think you can really feel that in this music. You know, it's very dense, it's very deep, and it just sort of thrums with this kind of celestial energy. Arcora Ion is the album, and Ion is spelled A-I-O-N, Ion, from Anna Thorvaldsdóttir and the Iceland Symphony Orchestra. And that'll do it for this week's New Music Friday. My thanks to Ayana Contreras, Serena Turos, and Sheldon Pierce. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks, Robin.
Thanks, Robin.
All right, don't forget you can see a complete list of everything that we talked about and played on the show in the episode description in your podcast feed. You can hear full versions of the songs along with a whole bunch of new singles that dropped this week in our expanded New Music Friday playlists. Just search for NPR in Apple Music or Spotify. And be sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter to keep up with the latest from NPR Music. You'll find it at npr.org/musicnewsletter. And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. I hope you have a great weekend. Be well, and seriously, treat yourself to lots of music.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
It's a high-stakes election year, so it's not enough to just follow along. You need to understand what's happening so you are fully informed come November. Every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast, our political reporters break down important stories and backstories from the campaign trail so you understand why it matters to you. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.